Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Let's talk some college basketball, starting with the Missouri Tigers, who got a win against number 5 Florida last night. I think it's easily the biggest win that Missouri has had since joining the SEC. We all know earlier in the year they had the upset win against Kansas. We'll talk more Tigers later, but they have put themselves absolutely in the NCAA tournament field. They're sitting at 14-3. They're undefeated at home. They get Arkansas this weekend as well. A chance to keep the momentum. They'll be ranked next week, will the Tigers. K-State, meanwhile, their struggles continued last night at Bramlage Coliseum. They lost to Texas Tech. The Wildcats now sit at, so let me scroll all the way down, 7-9. Lost 4 in a row, 1-4 in conference play. Kansas takes on top 5 Iowa State.
I saw what
State
you
tonight.
Did there. Scroll all the way
yeah,
down.
Yeah, I did have to
I'm
scroll.
I'm usually considered the K-State here. That was hating.
I had a, no, I
hate. So let me scroll all the way down.
I
heard a drill.
I literally had to scroll all the way down. Cody, they're at the very bottom other than Cincinnati and Colorado. I had to scroll down. If you Google standings, it doesn't show the very bottom half of the conference. So I said, let me scroll all the way down. There
it is. That's the way you said it. Next up on What's Trending, Quinn Ewers is officially heading to the NFL draft. That, according to Pete Thamel, today is the last day, if you are out of the college football playoff finals, to declare for the NFL draft. Otherwise, you have to go back to college and play there. I think some people thought Quinn Ewers would enter the transfer portal and find some way to get paid big, big, big time bucks. I mean, for instance, Carson Beck got $3 million. To go to Miami, etc. Everybody knew he was out because they were going to hand the keys over to Arch Manning. I am still surprised to see him go. Some of the early stuff says maybe he's like a third round pick. So you could certainly go up with performances inside of draft combine stuff, but still, third round pick, and you could have made $3 million going to college. Probably chosen that.
Right. Unless there just were no options because it was so late in the process. Otherwise, yeah, go get your money while you can. You can be, my guess is you'll still be a third or fourth rounder next year if you played in college. As long as you didn't tear your ACL, you're going to probably still be in the same draft position, but at least you're making $2 million or whatever you would in the portal. So that was surprising as well. Next up on What's Trending, coaching carousel stuff continues. We now know the first formal interview the Dallas Cowboys have requested. That's with former Jets head coach Robert Saleh. I understand that Jerry Jones and Deion have talked based on reporting, but in terms of official interview requests, this is the first one.
That's not nothing. I mean, at least because, you know, the Deion stuff's out there. They're actually trying to interview someone. That would be...
Well, just keep Michael McCarthy. What are you hiring Robert Saleh
That would
for?
Be one of the least inspiring hires of all time. I'm not even kidding.
I don't think he'll be that much.
Next up on What's Trending, Sunday Night Baseball schedule is officially out for the upcoming 2025 Major League Baseball season. Royals got 0 games. None!
I'm not surprised.
You know, I would hate to see the top 5 player in the entire sport on a playoff team from last year. I would hate to see that on a Sunday night. I watched the Phillies 4 times and the Yankees 3 times. Sure. I know. I love how baseball is always like, you know, a regionalized sport, and then to try to do anything to actually help that. There's like, now here are the Yankees and Dodgers, and you get nothing else.
Yeah, unfortunately, not surprised. This is how this goes. It'll be, as you said, the Dodgers and Yankees. It'll be Cardinals against Cubs, and it'll be stuff like that.
It's where the NBA's gotten 2 weeks.
Not even kidding. It's like
they didn't promote.
It's Mets Yankees or something. Mets somebody 2 weeks in a row. Like the exact same opponent 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah,
just
Sunday night
baseball.
Truly, Sunday night baseball is just for the big markets. It really is. That's what they've made. I know in the NFL we talk about, you know, all these primetime slots, but in the NFL you can be the biggest star in the league and be in Kansas City. You can be the biggest star in the league and be in Cincinnati. You don't have to be in New York or L.A. That's another great thing to talk about the NFL and how they've approached that. You can be marketable and all that wherever you're at. And in baseball, Sunday Night Baseball, they have no interest in having Kansas City or Cincinnati on in their time slots.
How many primetime slots are there actually in baseball? Are there only
not
like,
a ton?
There's only like two a week, right?
Sunday night baseball. There's one a week, and
Friday,
then
Saturday, Friday night, Apple.
The Apple one. Yeah, that's new. So like really two a week. But I mean, but that's the point. You only get these like 40 games to highlight or 30 games to highlight baseball to other people. And one of the best players on the planet will not be highlighted during that stretch. That doesn't make sense to me.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, we'll be out at Rally House, Barry Woods Crossing, coming up on Friday. It is that time of the year. Playoff time means it's time for you to get out to your local Rally House, and we'll be at one Friday and gear up to go back to back to back. And the Kingdom Rally House has got all the new gear they're rushing in for the playoffs, including postseason gear. You can shop at 16 KC Metro locations and online at Rally House. We'll be doing our show up north at that location and Barry Woods Crossing throughout Friday, 10 to 2. Come by, say hello. We'll have some gift cards we're giving away as well. So it'll be a perfect way to kick off the postseason three-peat run. See you Friday.
It's going to be a great time. You need your gear, fresh gear for the postseason. Like you said, we'll be up at Rally House and we'll have some gift cards to give away during that stretch as well. Don't know how we're going to give them away yet. I know we can't tell you, like, first person to get here because that's not safe, but we'll find a way to get you some Rally House gift cards while we're up there.
So we all know if this thing goes the way everybody in Kansas City wants it to go, we could be talking about another celebration in Kansas City in less than a month, I guess, from now, as a matter of fact. A three-peat celebration. And we know with that, in years past, that's always been a parade. And I don't have to remind everybody about the terrible events last year at the celebration and at the parade. And I bring this up again, not to put a downer on anything, but because there was an update on what the Chiefs or the city could be planning. And if you're also saying, why are you talking about this? They haven't won the Super Bowl yet. Well, because planning for parades take weeks and months for security reasons and for other reasons to plan. And Sam McDowell over at the Kansas City Star had an article last night that had some quotes from the mayor and other officials discussing that at least one idea, this is not a sure thing, but one idea is considering dropping the Super Bowl rally at Union Station portion of the celebration, which we all know was the site of last year's shooting. In this, it talks about doing a parade still, and then there would be more of a ticketed, you know, I don't want to say private event that would have the some of the stuff that you would normally have on the stage at Union Station. This is not confirmed. It doesn't mean this is what they're going to choose to do, but it has been considered. And I think it's interesting. We can ask you guys on the text line, 913-586-7965. What do you make of that? We know over the last couple of years, we have had millions of people that have been able to go out to these celebrations in parade and then the Union Station rally. Go back to even in 2015 with the Royals and what that rally was like also at Union Station. I think after the shooting last year, there was a conversation of like, hey, everybody's going to have a different comfort level with taking their family. I'm not saying it's which way is right or wrong and how everybody will have to make that decision.
If you ask someone a week after versus a year after, their answer is probably different.
I think
in some cases
in the city's decision making, it's like, do they believe they can create a safe environment in that spot this time and this year? Is that possible? And it sounds like that is what they're basing this off of. Individuals, I think there's some of you listening that are saying, I'm going to go there no matter what. That's fine. I think some of you are saying, I'm never going again. That also fine. And I think that's what's interesting about this decision. And it's unfortunate there were real life, and unfortunately people lost their life due to the events a year ago. There are also what I would call more just, an impact and results from events that can change the way you go about your business in future celebrations. And this could be one of them.
I'll say it's a really tough call. Cause if you ask me right now, like, hey, like last year, my kids didn't come down. The year before they did, sometimes just a case by case timing, whatever. Right. They didn't come down last year. They did 2 years ago. I'd probably be less inclined to bring my kid. Like as it sits right now, I'd probably be less inclined to put them in not harm's way, right? Because you don't really know. But I got to be honest, the idea of like, hey, let's just get rid of the rally at Union Station or let's make this thing smaller or it's a private thing or those, doesn't make it feel like a celebration anymore instead of a very, very, very short drive in a car. The rally is more important than the other part. Right? The rally is the bigger thing than just
people look forward to hearing the players speak.
Yeah, sure. Than the buses driving down the street. And yeah, I want to hear the players speak, But it's like, that's probably the most important. I want to hear Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes, whatever. So like, that is the bigger part of it. But I don't think that there's any way that you can control it in a way that's going to be like, well, nothing can happen here. But that is every. And I'm that is not limited to the parade. I will say, if you are going to anything with a large group of people, a concert, a Chiefs game, there are so many people and so many elements and so many things can happen. I actually don't think it's controllable. So I don't think you should be worried it's going to happen again by going down there just because it happened before. It could happen at any large scale event. And so like that is a little bit of the like constantly think about it. But I will be at the parade thinking it differently. Like, it won't feel the same anymore in Kansas City in a lot of ways because of that, though.
Now, I think,
for me.
Yeah, I think the quote from Mayor Lucas, kind of what you're saying in this story from the Star, was, we're going to keep being a city that does things. We're going to keep being a city that creates opportunities for people to come together. And then it goes on to say, you know, maybe not at a large rally outside Union Station. He also rejected any suggestion in the piece that the city should shy away from holding large public celebrations, to your point as well. It's like, you can't stop doing things and live in fear 24/7, right? But there are going, and that there are going to be people that make a decision and a choice. And maybe that's what it comes down to. There's probably people that believe they should have the rally, and people should be able to make their own choice whether or not to go to said event.
And somebody, how to keep themselves safe.
Some people have said, why not do it at Arrowhead? And it's mentioned in this piece as well. The challenge with that is, okay, you got 75,000 at Arrowhead. Well, then you would have a large group of people standing in the parking lot as well. How is that any different than having the rally at Union Station, right? In terms of like, why would that be safer? Somebody suggested having it at T-Mobile. Sure, only 17,000, 20,000 people are going to have access to that. So there's
not a perfect, that might show up.
Unfortunately, there's not a perfect scenario to lay out here. There's going to be some people that are going to be upset no matter what they do. Ultimately, it's going to come down. You have kids, Cody, so you make a decision what you think is best for you and your family. Everybody can do the same kind of deal. And I think there's a real possibility, though, man, that there's not a Union Station rally like we had a year ago. Does it mean it's that way forever? I don't know. Maybe it's something that because time, you know, to a certain extent, I'm not saying we can ever replace. Somebody lost their life, so I'm not saying that will ever change. But for the public sentiment around something.
And the comfort.
And comfort. Over time, does that change? So maybe it's for a year, and I say that, and you got to win a Super Bowl for this. But there'll be other celebrations. We're talking in the context of a Super Bowl in this piece in the Star, but there's other celebrations we probably will
this
have
will
over the years.
This will come up at some point, because at some point they'll win it. The thing is that it's because it's the year after. I just think it'll be on your mind. And, like, of course it will. Like, I mean, that's just reality. And if you make it a ticketed event, even if it's a free ticketed event, unless you have a ticket, you can't come down to Arrowhead and do it. I don't hate that. But I do still think it's like, if you're not going to do the thing where the players stand up there and they're a part of it, and then it's not a celebration parade. And I'll point out what I know it happened here. There have been other teams who have won championships since the Chiefs won championships.
Yeah.
Those teams still did parades in those cities. They did not change the scope. They did not change what they would normally do. They did not change the route they went to, the stage they saw. The only one they actively changed was the one during COVID when all the Bucks players were on boats.
That's right.
That is the only one. Tom Brady almost threw the trophy into the water. That was the only one in which I think they actually changed it. My guess is they'll have a lot of these conversations because they want people to feel comfortable that they're actually considering it. I don't think there's anything wrong with working through the options. But in the end, it should pretty much be the same event. If you wanted to add more security closer to Union Station, I think that's fine. But I mean, I don't think that the safety is dramatically different just because it happened. I just think I'll think about them differently. It'll just change how I'm at them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think
the event should change.
Ultimately, I think it should just be people will have a decision to make on their own whether or not they feel comfortable going. Or, you know, that also applies to the city, though, too, right? Does the city feel that they can put on a safe event as well? And if they believe that that's possible and they believe they can do every possible security measure, it doesn't guarantee nothing happening, right? They were prepared last year as well before the fatal shooting happened. But if they believe they can put together a plan that they believe should allow for a safe parade and rally to take place, then yeah, I think they should do it. And then ultimately, you know, your family, your individual decision when it comes to that, and there'll be plenty of people. Like, there's no doubt I think the attendance would be down, like, because of what we're describing. But we bring this up just because there was an update in the Kansas City Star on what the city is considering doing. And these preparations take place far in advance of an actual Super Bowl champ. They can't decide 3 days before what to do for a parade.
Text line's really trying to accuse us of a jinx. I've said this before. Jinxes aren't real. I'll talk in the middle of a no-hitter. It doesn't matter. Drew, I think you've now worked with me for a little over a year. I don't believe in jinxes. I don't think say, you know, this happens or there, it's not plausible. I do think good luck exists. And so us not going to the Super Bowl, that's hard to say, you know? That could go anyway. But the jinx part, nah.
You're saying if the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl and
Alex and I aren't there?
Since we're
not going.
That's
not a jinx. That's just, you know, that could just change fate.
What I'm saying is, you guys being at the game, the luck goes up a little bit for the Chiefs, just in general. Before the game even starts, they're a little bit more likely to win because you guys are going to the game.
That's correct. That's correct. I do believe in that, I'll say.
Not that they won't win when you guys aren't there, but you guys help. Essentially, you're giving your part to the team, I guess, in a way. Andy Reid should thank you guys as well.
A little bit back on what we were talking about before we got into that on what's trending. Drew, I'm counting on you as a college football guy. Is Quinn Ewers good? I'm just trying to figure out for like the teams in this division, like the Raiders, who might be looking for a quarterback. Is he any good?
I think if the Raiders selected Quinn Ewers, you shouldn't be that concerned. But I don't.
That's a no.
But I think that, again, situation. I mean, again, it's the Raiders. So given past history, you shouldn't be concerned if many quarterbacks are the Raiders, just because they're the Raiders.
They've not done a great job at selecting quarterbacks.
There have been guys who have been okay in college who have been really good actually in the NFL. And then there have been guys who have been really good in college, many guys who have been really good in college, but nothing in the NFL. I lean towards he would start probably, but you shouldn't be any more concerned about him than you should Bo Nix. Or maybe at this point, you should
Bo Nix had a really nice year.
You should be less concerned about Quinn Ewers than Bo Nix, in my opinion.
Do you think Bo Nix at any point will threaten to win a division against Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, but no. maybe
God,
it's
you
not
said
because
no
of
so fast.
Maybe it's not because of Bo Nix, though. Let me ask you, how many times?
And maybe there was. I think there was one year, maybe two. How many years with Derek Carr? How many years did Derek Carr threaten the Chiefs to win the division? Because that's what Bo Nix is going
to
be.
1 to 2, he threatened, but he didn't actually win it.
I think it's
there was like in a week 11, 12, 13 game where like had the Raiders won it, maybe they had a chance of winning the division.
Is it not any different though? Because who the Raiders have as head coach at the time compared to. They had Josh McDaniels, correct? Yeah. I think they can compete with Bo Nix to win a division, but it's not because of Bo Nix. It's more because of Sean Payton or because of the defense being as good as it is.
Like, I know people can lose divisions. I just feel like it takes injury in order to do it. Like, if you go back and you looked at, like, Peyton Manning's run in the AFC South, did people win the division over Peyton Manning very often?
No, not really. I mean, maybe if it was
that 1 year that we were talking about with Blake Bortles, did they win the division that year?
Yeah, but was Peyton?
I don't even know if Peyton was around anymore.
When did Peyton go to Denver?
2013, something around that time frame.
2012, yes.
He won it in 15, so I mean, he's only there a couple of years. I mean,
I don't remember the exact year, but yeah, he was obviously the Colts were done with him. They were worried about the neck injury.
The only thing I can think of is
Kansas City tried to get Peyton Manning too.
The only thing I can think of is maybe the Titans potentially at some point with Steve McNair. You know,
I mean, maybe, but again. Peyton Manning,
maybe.
Like in the early going, sure, when he wasn't winning every division. But when he turned 27 on, he won 12 games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years in a row. I don't think anybody took the division away from him as he was winning 12 games every single season in perpetuity.
I know that because of how Herbert looked in the playoffs, everybody will be like, no, there's no chance. I still will pick the Chargers. If there's anybody over the next 5 years that could win the division other than Kansas City, I still think I would put my money on it being the Chargers. And I know you're like, well, Herbert was terrible in the playoffs. I'm talking about just winning the division, baby. I'm not talking about winning playoff games. I'm just about putting together enough wins and beating the Chiefs once or twice in the regular season to put some pressure on them.
This is why I am genuinely interested. Once we get through all the playoff stuff and the Chiefs are done beating the Texans, beating whoever wins between the Bills and Ravens, and then eventually winning the Super Bowl on their way to the three-peat, whenever all of that is done, I am kind of interested in what happens with the Raiders offseason, because right now, the other two, I know what they are. I can expect it is Harbaugh and Herbert. Mm-hmm. It is Peyton and Nix. And until they show cracks, as in one of those guys is not going to get re-signed, or Nix, because like at this point, Nix probably had a good enough rookie season. He's probably already locked in to a second contract.
He's going to be their starter for another 6+ years at least.
Yeah, so like I already know how long those two guys are going to be. I got no idea what the Raiders are doing. I have the vague.
That's why they're resetting the whole thing. resetting the whole thing. And it sounds like a lot of people believe ultimately Ben Johnson's the head coach for the Raiders, but quarterback. Yeah, who's the guy? Is it somebody they draft, or do they go the veteran route for a year? Sam Darnold,
I mean,
or Cousins?
If they do draft somebody, they might, and Shadur, and they aren't willing to trade up, they might get stuck with Quinn Ewers or stuck with Jalen Milroe.
I love that. That's like the worst
somebody
way
else
to
happens to play well. I'm sure there's another couple names.
Over the next 5 years.
Maybe? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, okay. Over the next 5 years, I don't know how many you think, if you think the Chiefs are winning five more in a row or not, but the Raiders would easily still be the least likely pick for all the reasons we just brought up. I think the Chargers would be most likely, then Broncos, then Raiders. I mean, I don't know how you could almost, maybe you flip the order, you disagree with me on the Denver versus Chargers, but I don't know how you wouldn't say the Raiders are the least likely franchise to.
You don't know their coach or quarterback
or general manager. They have nothing.
They just have one owner with a bowl cut. Tom Brady's got a percent now. Like, I mean, that's the only things in place.
Text line mentioning.
I got a nice stadium.
Cody, the text line mentioning the Curtis Painter year, the Colts lost the division, which obviously makes sense.
I think I saw
2011. I don't know if that was the Curtis Painter year or not. I can't remember. And
probably.
Then 2008, the Titans went 13-3. The Colts might have gone 12-4 that year. The Titans beat them in that year.
Okay.
So just 1 year.
So Peyton one was time.
Beaten. Yeah.
I mean, that's also just part of it.
It's been weak.
This run, by the time the Chiefs are done with this run, and I don't know when it'll be, it might be another decade, I don't know. But when they're actually done with this run, this current one, and they either have to rebuild into a second run like the Patriots did, or this damn thing just never ends. The counting stats are already ludicrous. The consecutive number of AFC Championship game appearances gold, the consecutive number of divisions won, the consecutive number of double digit, the consecutive just playoff appearance, like, I mean, all of it. All those numbers are also comically higher than anyone else. It's always almost impossible to imagine anyone taking the division away from them. Because I got to convince myself that Bo Nix is going to win at least 12 games. And he can be pretty good. 12 games, a lot of games. It's going to be Sam Darnold. I'm still convinced Sam Darnold's the Steelers quarterback. I think that's...
I would say Raiders, Steelers would be the first two names that I think
of. What about Tennessee?
No way.
No way?
I mean, who they got at quarterback?
Why do you say
Mayo
no way?
Game
you,
delicious,
you,
Will
just, you just think I, they're drafting Sanders? Is that what it is,
I,
or what?
I think they would. They would. I don't think if they need, if they want to.
What if they trade down out of number one and stockpile picks because that roster could use some work still, and then they say, "Oh, we'll just go veteran."
Well, that's why I think they might just keep Mason Rudolph and just use the picks to build the roster.
You better like the quarterback draft class next year.
Along the point of why would you pay or why would you draft a quarterback that you don't think has a team? Regardless, just keep Mason Rudolph on a small contract. Suck again, which would be bad. It would stink. It'd be dumb.
Here's why.
Get the new stadium. They draft the quarterback. They already have a roster that is ready to win right away.
So the roster, I'm all for them. The idea of, hey, should they trade back if they believe Sanders isn't that guy in their opinion? Although I think they should draft the quarterback. But if that's fine, they can trade back. But you still have to go and get a different quarterback than Mason Rudolph. You have a coach in his second year. He knows he's fired if they bail. They'll have a brand new general manager as well. We know that as a fact. And I don't have to draft a quarterback, but they cannot have Mason Rudolph as their starter in week one of 2024.
Justin Fields would be more respectable.
It goes into planning the whole thing out, though. Like, I think if going into this year, they know our goal during the draft, we're going to trade back. We're going to build out the roster.
Yeah.
We're not going to pay Sam Darnold more money than we should pay him, which is probably going to happen from somebody, whether it's the Raiders or the Steelers.
It doesn't have to be Darnold.
We're going to stick with somebody. Maybe it's Mason Rudolph because he knows Brian Callahan's system, and they stink. But again, I think you would rather, if you really think that you can, if you really believe in the building the roster, you hit on the right quarterback, Tennessee can all of a sudden, this is the thing though, Let's say they play Mason Rudolph. Let's say they trade back, they stockpile picks, and they draft a bunch of guys around. Let's say they draft Drew Aller next year, or Cade Klubnik, or Avery Johnson, and he's really good. All of a sudden, Tennessee is in prime position to win that division for maybe, or be right there with Houston for a long time. It's going to be those two and nobody else. So while you don't want to jump the gun, I think, and be wrong, and then set your franchise back again because you took the quarterback that didn't work out when you could have used it on another pick that would have helped another quarterback maybe down the line, but that might be planning with the coaches though. Like if they expect Brian Callahan to win in year two, then tough luck. He might have to draft the quarterback. And I'm sure Borgonzi, they're asking him about this in the interviews as well. What's your plan for the offseason? What do you think we should do?
I guarantee he's not saying just lose.
Well, I know they're not trying to lose. But
I mean, if you're starting Mason Rudolph, you are trying to lose.
They're not trying to lose, but why would you waste money paying Mason Rudolph when you can just pay? Or why would you waste Sam Darnold money?
It doesn't have to be Darnold. I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, it does fine. Like, it doesn't have to be Darnold on a 3-year deal. That's a fair point.
That's why I said it could be Russ.
It can be anybody. Literally anybody else. Why? Mason Rudolph?
I think. No, hang on. Would you take Russell over?
Yes.
You would take Russell Wilson over Mason Rudolph.
Oh, look,
now.
I know we make jokes about Russell Wilson, but come on now. Russell Wilson is still a better quarterback than Mason Rudolph is fun around Christmas time because his last name is Rudolph. That's about it.
I get to win one bet a year.
We need to compare stats because I think Mason Rudolph is as good of a quarterback as Russell Wilson is right now.
Ain't no way. I mean, I'm not looking at the stats right now, but ain't no way. I'll look it up in the break.
Somebody said, who wins the division first, the Bengals or the Titans? Probably the Titans. I mean, in all honesty. AFC North is actually a tough division, boys.
Yeah, that South isn't. I'm not going to disagree with you there.
Yeah, we don't do QB win-loss stats, but I will point out that this year Mason Rudolph was 1-4. I think the Titans know what they have in Mason Rudolph, and it's nothing. 9 touchdowns, 9 picks.
And how many games?
1-4.
Okay. 5 games.
He played in 8 games, though.
It would be nice if he had the Steelers' defense.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt.
I'm just saying, that record might be a little bit different.
Mason Rudolph. Can we make a bet right now? You want to make a bet?
What, Sam Darnold?
No. You said Mason Rudolph will be the starter week one?
I said, why not go to him? I'm not saying he is going to be the starter.
Okay. All right.
That's fair.
That'd be my one quarterback against your 20.
Okay. You were very confident that Mason Rudolph showed himself well enough that you think he should be the number one starter next year.
He is the same player as Russell Wilson is.
Okay. Up next, let's get to some college basketball. Missouri. They're in the tournament, guys. Win against number 5 Florida. Let's talk about that and how it relates to what's going on in Manhattan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Had in Kansas as well. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on your home for KC Sports, 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you can watch the show on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe, and also on the Odyssey app.
That's right. Sorry, I moved my mic and I was standing right still off.
You
like,
good?
A little. You know me, I'm usually pretty gentle. I just grab it from this little knob here. Mm-hmm. The engineers, who I know listen to the show
occasionally. They love when you do that.
I don't like to touch this part of the mic. I'm told not to touch this part of the mic. It can make things worse.
Everybody has their own style with that. We've given Dusty a hard time.
One little knob here.
We've given Dusty a hard. It's a habit thing, right? People have a habit and stuff they do. Like, I don't want to do it because the mic is on, but he will grab the entire microphone at times.
That's a crazy thing to do.
Yeah, it's everybody has their own thing. It's what you know.
James Brown singing into that thing. You have to hold the whole mic.
You don't. It's you don't have to. You can adjust it multiple ways. So anyway.
That's an unfortunate cut.
Text lines picking up on
sometimes
that pretty quick.
Sometimes I say stuff and it's not like I don't say it to make it
response. We know you like to do that. I should have cut that.
You should.
That inclusion does make it pretty good.
We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 12 minutes or so. But I want to talk about some college hoops for just a brief period of time. Then we'll get right back to the NFL, I promise. But how about the Missouri Tigers right now, man? They come up with a huge win last night in Gainesville against number 5 Florida. This now gets them off to their best start since they've joined the SEC. Did you know that? 3-1. Like, I know it's not like a crazy, not like they're 9-0, but 3-1. That's their best start in SEC play they've had since joining the conference. This is their biggest win in conference play since they've joined the SEC. Dennis Gates didn't win a single conference game a year ago, and now he has a team that's going to be ranked next week very easily.
He's winning road conference games against top 5 opponents.
It's really impressive how he's built the roster. Because I think you can look at all 3 locals and some of the struggles they're having via transfer portal or just signing the normal way of recruiting right out of high school. Dennis Gates, majority of that roster are freshmen. You know, they're guys. I'm not saying they didn't have a single transfer portal guy, but most of it has been done through classic recruiting. And they can actually rebound the basketball this year. And it's been really impressive to watch. We know they beat Kansas earlier on in the season. And he's going to get them back in the tournament now. And then you look in like Manhattan, Kansas, for example, where we know in year 1, the transfer portal was everything for Jerome Tang. It's why they went on the run. And this year they went all in on the portal. He went around and said, give me money, basically, and I'll make it happen. And they're a 7-9 basketball team, and the portal has backfired. And so it's interesting how every program is going to have to figure out what's that right balance of building it out. And this year for Dennis Gates, going back the route of classic recruiting out of high school has worked.
And I think that's what's going to make college sports kind of interesting for a while is in college football. I've told you, I would never recruit a quarterback. I would just go find the Carson Beck, or if Quinn Ewers had come back, or in Ohio State's case, Will Howard, who has a chance to play for a national championship. I'd find someone like that. But in the college basketball, and Bill Self's best teams were always the teams that he took his freshmen, and he had 3 of the starting 5 from when they were 18 years old, and now they're all juniors or seniors and a part of his team. And he's been trying to build through the transfer portal because that's where the sport has gone. As a result of that, I don't think his teams have been nearly as good. Look, it's hard to undersell this win for Missouri. In Missouri basketball's entire program history, they have 4 road wins against top 5 opponents. That is, I mean, we're talking about a very small number of times Missouri travels on the road, faces a top 5 opponent, and comes out with the win. So that is a huge win. The biggest, obviously, for Dennis Gates in his entire program's history. As a matter of fact, it's bigger, that of the Kansas one, 2 of his biggest wins, it's bigger than the first round win for Missouri in the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago. Because had this season gone anywhere close to last season, he was going to get fired. His ass was going to be on the street. Now Dennis Gates looks like he might have 4 or 5 year run, maybe more, for a chance, because that's the way it works. When you make the tournament 2 times out of 3 years in Missouri, you were doing it right. I cannot explain what happened last year. I have no idea how they were so miserably bad last year. But if he's going to get back to the tournament, he's got wins against Kansas and Florida.
Where the SEC is really, really good, too. I think that's what I would add to the conversation about the 3-1 start in conference play is this is not a down year for the SEC by any means. Quite the opposite. It is an unbelievable year for the SEC and the talent that exists in that conference this year. They just beat one of them, one of those teams, and that is Florida. So really impressive, complete opposite going on in Manhattan. They lost to Texas Tech last night to drop to 7-9 on the season. And it's going to be a long one, it looks like, for Kansas State when it comes to men's basketball this year. And we've discussed the buyout situation. There's really no way out of it. This thing, you just got to hope, even if you're down on Jerome Tang right now, you got to hope he can figure it out next year and go a different path through recruiting. I don't know if he's going to get the same resources through the portal that he got this year because he didn't do anything with it. Didn't work out.
I don't know why. Like, if I were a donor, I'd be like, Because here's the crazy thing about NIL now. It's like before, like you got him there, and I understand, but like now I'm directly paying this person. So I gave you $6 million, and what you did was you lit it on fire? You just flushed it down the drain? Like, I wouldn't be real tempted.
Yeah. Coleman Hawkins has actually played all right. It's just the rest of the group has been a disaster. But actually, Coleman Hawkins has been all right.
Yeah, no, he has. But I just meant, like, overall, we're not getting our value out of it. This is also just, I genuinely think there might be a greater ebb and flow coming to college basketball. Because there's so much movement. I think team building is harder. Not just because you have to recruit these players or play these players. It's that you are forced over the course of a calendar year to figure out how to get all of these mismatched. It's like somebody handing you a pile of 10 Legos and then you're supposed to guess how it's supposed to be made. No instructions, no help on how you do it. And you're just supposed to assume as you're collecting these random spare parts throughout the year, either as 18-year-old kids or 21-year-old transfers, and you're supposed to always know that they're going to fit together. It's tough. I think it's why you see more years like, and Kansas not having a, Kansas is ranked 9th in the country.
Yeah, they got Iowa State tonight.
So they win this game, and then nobody's even talking about the fact that it seems like...
Yeah, they're 6.5-point dogs tonight. We'll see. We'll see. But you're right. I mean, like Missouri, this year's a good balance. They've got, you know, I'm taking a look at just what the roster looks like. It's actually a fairly balanced roster. You know, there's definitely more freshmen than they attacked it in that regard, but it's got a mix. It's got a balance. It's not just relying on transfer portal guys.
No, honestly, I'm kind of impressed by what Dennis Gates has done. A player, you know, a coach that I would have thought a year ago was, again, going to be out of the job. But it's the same thing, though. Like, if you did this a year apart, last year Kansas State fans were ready to, they didn't want Jerome, they were worried Jerome Tang was going to go to Arkansas. They were happy to pay him the additional money because they didn't want him to go to Arkansas. They were happy with the job he was doing, and they wanted him around for a while. A year ago, they wanted drawn and quartered for Dennis Gates. They wanted his ass out of the building. They wanted him fired, gone, long gone, out of the building. And now if I ask Missouri fans, where are you and Dennis Gates, it's a very different vibe. So some of this might just be like, cool it on the reaction. If Jerome Tang has a bad year, give him another year and find out if this is a consistent problem with the new NIL in the portal and he's not identifying talent well.
The difference
or if
would
it's
be,
a longer term issue.
Some would say, well, it wasn't winless conference bad last year or this year for Jerome Tang. It was 2 years in a row, though, were massive disappointment. And this year it's getting worse. That would be the only issue I think K-State fans would have with that. So we'll see. Looks like two of the locals are going to be in the NCAA tournament this year.
Do you think K-State even gets to the NIT? I mean, at the rate they're going,
At the rate they're going, they're going to be
7-13
team.
7-9. No.
I still think they have enough talent that they could finish 15, 16 wins, but the way they're playing right now would not indicate that they're going to do that. So if you made me guess, Drew, no.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rule
to make the NIT. They also, it's not even 15 or 16. They'd have to go like 19 and 14 or 20 and 13 or something like that.
They are playing postseason basketball.
And look, I get it. Like from the 918, it said Tang was never going to Arkansas.
I
probably
agree.
Not.
His agent did some masterful work.
But that's how the college in particular works this way. Because a college coach can leave if you just pay him. Like I can't just like, because otherwise it would happen in the NFL all the time. If somebody could just pay $10 million to get Sean McVay, somebody else would have paid $10 million and paid Sean McVay a bunch of money. Okay, that would have already happened in college. This is part of where I wanted the players to have the ultimate freedom that they do have now in college basketball and college football. If you don't want players to have ultimate freedom and they should only get to transfer once or any of these other things, well, then you should make it so college basketball coaches can't just leave unless they're a free agent like every other professional sport.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying, but that is exactly why buyouts do exist, though.
Sure.
I mean, that's their way of trying
barrier,
to prevent.
It's a barrier, but it's not, you know, like if you're McVay, there's no buyout. If you're in a contract, you can't leave here. I'm sorry. You're our coach.
You know, I wonder, that actually brings up an interesting point. I don't know if it would get there in college, real quick, but college basketball, college football. If contracts are introduced and you want somebody to transfer, maybe it's just not transferring anymore. It's buyouts. Like, it's not trades.
Yeah.
There's no
trades. Somebody, who was it?
There's
somebody
no
suggested
nothing.
That.
But there actually are
the
contracts.
The university trading money would be fine.
Yeah, there's actually buyouts. Like, in you're assigned, when you sign to a team, you're there. But a team can buy you out and bring you over if you're interested or whatever the case is. But there's not, you're detaching yourself from this program and then you're a free agent. It's just, you're always attached to this program until you're bought out and you go somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know if it was with Herbstreit or Danny Cannell. Somebody suggested that very thing back in mid-December when all the portal stuff was heating up more, and they brought up that idea, and I don't think it's a terrible one about the the idea of where universities would have to take care of that financially. Then you would really start seeing everything cut down in terms of the transfer portal.
Yeah, they wouldn't be going after as many players, or they'd go after fewer. It's not to say it never exists, but it would certainly exist less. The question is, where does that money go? You pay the buyout. Does it go to university, or does it go directly to the players who are still on the roster? It
probably goes back into the NIL fund.
Back into the NIL fund.
You got to figure out a way, like, because the whole thing is, like, college basketball players need collective bargaining. They need 51 or 49% or whatever other league gets. They need a certain portion of the profit, like everyone else.
Well, and also, theoretically speaking, when you're picking your school as well, you also have to, the high school player would have to think a whole lot more about where they're going. Because they're attached to that contract more than just, I can just go here and bounce after a year and go somewhere else. I think there was somebody that said, there was a high school player, said they were going to commit to University of Louisiana Monroe and then bounce after 1 year. This kid's in high school, by the way. He said he's going to go to UO Monroe, play 1 year, transfer to a bigger school. He's already laid out his whole plan.
I mean, he's just saying the quiet part out loud. That's what
everyone else is just saying it out loud.
It might not be that, and it's not going to be that, it might not be that easy with contract stuff. Just because schools and managing,
but his buyout at UN Monroe is probably $500,000.
A lot of this is still going to change. I mean, I think we all know there's going to be whether it comes at the federal level or otherwise. Like, there's going to be. We already are seeing that. Basically, you're going to have like this $20 million cap, if you will, with football programs. Like, it's going to look a lot different. I think there will be more barriers while still allowing the student athletes to earn money. I think there will be some consolidation with how this thing goes instead of it being a state by state issue.
Briefly, since we're talking about this, did you see Huff, the college head coach, said that he was running into more players complaining about their rating in the college football playoff game than the NIL money they were getting?
So there's like a
what's
coach's,
he supposed to do?
There's a coaches conference going on, and they're voting on potentially like changing the portal window and things like that. But one of the things that came up was what you just said, which is that it's not just so much why is he getting more NIL money? He's like, why is his college football video game rating higher than mine? And they're unhappy about that. That's just
I can't do anything about that as a coach. By the way, I don't own EA.
It's hilarious, honestly, but it just tells you of just the different atmosphere that college football is today than it was 20 years
Xavier
ago.
Xavier Worthy's not going to Andy Reid. Hey, Andy, I've been turning up the last few weeks. How come my Madden rating's still like what it is
right now? I think NFL players care sometimes.
NFL players love their Madden rating. They get the whole,
correct, but they're complaining to they're adding Madden on social media. They're not saying, hey, Andy Reid, let me step into your office. Let me take 10 minutes of your time to complain about this.
Yeah. No, they've said things public. I don't think it's crazy that people care
Kirby
about it.
Smart calling up Electronic Arts, who makes the game, and is like, hey, I got this guy that is thinking about transferring, but if I can, can you increase his speed rating? It's going to make him just happier. Yeah,
that also is the dumbest reason to transfer. If you leave because your rating in a video game is wrong, that is a really sad reason.
No, but I'll tell you right now, you got to find any edge you can find in college football. And if I thought that this player would stay with me longer if I could get that if I showed him some juice. He's on my campus, maybe he's a portal guy next year, and I show him that I can get his overall 77 to 82 by making a couple of phone calls. I'm like, ooh, coach, you got me to 82? You're like, yeah.
By that standard,
I did. But I would try. I would try if I were a college coach.
By that standard, nobody should have left Florida State, and nobody should have left Liberty at all. Those are the two schools in the game. Florida State's like a 90 overall in the game. And we know how their season went. Oh yeah.
Still? They don't update those? Online play, at least?
They do, but they're still
too good.
They're still up there.
Oh, man, that's just
DJ Uiagalelei to start the season was like an 89 or an 88 or something along those lines. Yeah, it didn't work out too well.
Man, I had not played that college football game until we played it in the tournament, and I was still playing on a system I wasn't used to playing to. I was awful.
I haven't played in a while.
Anybody was worse than me, actually, in that tournament.
You scored 0 points?
Yes.
That is not good.
I can't really do worse.
I also picked the Auburn Tigers, which wasn't that great of an idea in retrospect.
All right, let's get to it.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We live stream the show 4 hours every single day. The other shows live stream as well, so like, subscribe, do whatever you got to do to make sure you get your 96.5 The Fan content. Question I have for you today is regarding my nephew who just bought a new house. His first one, he's 25.
Okay, I was about to say.
My nephew's 25 years old.
Because my nephews are, 10 and 7 and 3 or whatever.
So. My sister had a kid young. All right. So my sister, who is the exact same age as me, she's 41, I'm 40. I have a 25-year-old nephew. So you reverse engineer the math. 26?
Yeah.
Point is, he just bought his first house. And the question I have for you is related to that. We still doing housewarming gifts? I don't think I've ever bought anyone a housewarming gift in my life. I feel like he's going to invite us to his new place at some point, at which time I will feel obligated to make that decision. So my question is, are we doing that? Is that a thing that happens? Are housewarming gifts still a thing? And if so, what do you get?
That's a good question. I have, like, so, like, my sister just moved in. When my sister just moved into a new house, I mean, I didn't, if you're asking, did I get them anything? No.
That's why I'm asking. I don't know if I should have.
That was not something that ever came up. But also, they moved in around the holiday time, so between holidays and birthday parties, December through early January, it's just full of birthdays and holidays. So there's plenty of gift exchange going on already.
The legendary lawyer over on Twitch says wine or whiskey. It's super easy.
Wine's probably a good one. Just a bottle of wine.
Why not? Says yes. Family's got to hook you up. I don't know. I mean, why? Like just a bottle, like a candle, like a nice candle. But I don't want to determine what other scents people want to smell, you know? I feel like it's kind of bold to buy candles for people.
You're saying get a gift card to Bath & Body
Works. Maybe someone doesn't like sandalwood. You know, I don't want to make that determination what they want their new house to smell like.
Isn't it different too? Like, if let's say your kids are grown up, Cody, down the road, and your daughter moves. Her and her future husband or whatever buy their first
Gotta
house.
Get your kids' ass.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's different if it's your son or daughter.
But I've known him. I mean,
I know.
I don't know. Like, we grew up together a little bit.
A lot of people saying just good bottle of liquor. Somebody said Home Depot or Lowe's gift cards.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a
They're
good
gonna
one.
Need stuff.
That's a good one. You're always
someone says
need
Crate
something.
And Barrel. There'll be something for their house. I mean,
Crate and Barrel. I mean, though, $50. Only gonna go so far.
True. Get some nice stuff
at Lowe's,
though.
You might
nice
be able
stuff.
To get some spackle and paint and True. Stuff. You know.
Yeah.
Someone says my buddy got me a bottle of whiskey, but I can't. It feels kind of rude to get him, like, she doesn't drink whiskey. I know that is a fact.
Yeah, then don't get them back.
So, like, I can't get them a bottle of whiskey. Yeah. I got to get whiskey and wine.
They like wine? Just get a bottle of wine. A nice bottle of wine for both of them.
She seems, I've seen her drink wine, so she must like it okay. I don't think she's, like, a big wine drinker, but I think she's trying to get into it. You want to know the truth.
Mm-hmm. Does he have a Traeger or Big Green Egg you can buy an accessory for? Because some of those Big Green Egg accessories are pretty pricey, but it would be a nice gift.
My dad just texted. He said yes. But he also sells houses for a living. So
your dad would know. He would know.
That's true. Actually, that's an expert on the matter. Mm-hmm. He says, yes, you've got to do it. I will say, is there a time limit? Say I'm not invited to the new house in the first 6 months they live there. If you've lived there 6 months, I haven't been invited to the new place. No deal. Like, you got to invite me over to get this gift. Hmm. What? 6 months? There's got to be a drop dead.
I will say, it would be, I don't know if it'd be funnier if that happened or if you got invited to the house and then never got invited again because they just wanted a gift.
I will say, when I sold my house, I left a gift. Like, I left
people do that.
I left some champagne.
Oh, yeah?
Really,
nice.
Essentially, I'm just paying for it with their money anyway.
We don't need to bring that back up again. The last time you brought that up, you were friends on Facebook with the person that bought your house.
You drove by the house
a few times while she was there.
That's just because you've never left
weird.
Your childhood home.
It was weird. Yeah,
it's normal behavior.
I mean, I have left my childhood home, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, but you can still visit it. You literally stayed there last weekend. You can see it whenever you want.
That was
you broke a toilet at it.
I did.
In adulthood.
I did. Yeah.
Someone says Target gift card, candle warmer, Walmart gift card, any of the stuff that like you know you're gonna need house stuff. Seems like gift card. This might be one of those. I don't give gift cards as gifts very often. This feels like a safe one. You know, Lowe's, Home Depot.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with it, right?
Yeah. Everyone just bottle of wine.
Says, someone Google says Cody, Google. They're like, stop using the random question for your.
This is going to help Alex. His sister just bought a house. He didn't even know he was supposed to buy something. He should have had a bottle of wine in tow.
No, because we already, like I said, they moved in right around the holidays, and we got three birthdays in our family, all within like a 2 week period, plus the holiday and everything. So yeah, man, there's already plenty of gift buying and exchanging going on.
So you're saying if they bought it in June,
absolutely,
they were more likely to get something from you.
Totally,
they made a poor month buying.
That's when the house was done being built. It is what it is. Anyway, that's the random question of the day. All right, we'll get to the 1 o'clock hour. Let's talk more about this Chiefs-Texans matchup. The one player, I think it's obvious, but the one player that really stands out that could be problematic against the Chiefs.